So I won't ask how many of you were up till midnight there. Oh my. But Happy New Year. I'm so glad you could be here this morning. Let me know when you figure out who this is, okay? He was born July 8, 1792. Do you know how hard it was for me not to write 1972? 1792. He was shipwrecked, captured, forced into service in the British Navy, spent 2.5 years as a POW. Not Columbus. It's a little late for Columbus. In 1827, he retired with about $11,000, which in today's dollars would be about $212,000. By 1847, he had but a single York shilling left of his entire fortune. When his wife, Prudence, asked him to go buy her some flour. Any clue? Joseph Bates. I like the story of Joseph Bates. You know I've gone over this before. And so he had just one York shilling left. He went down after, his wife said, after carrying thousands of pounds and tons of cargo in his ship, he goes down, he buys a single 4 pounds and brings them back and brings them to her. And she's like, what's the deal with that? How come you only bring me 4 pounds? He said, that's it. I spent the last of our money on that. Can you imagine? Ladies, how would you like to have your husband come back saying that from Walmart? That's it. We're busted. We're broke now. Totally broke. But that's what he did. He had given all of his money to the cause of Christ. Whew. And she said, what are we going to do? He said, the Lord will provide. And as he sat in his study that day, he felt impressed by the Lord. Go to the post office. There's money there. And he went there that afternoon, opened the envelope, and there was $10 in it. Can you imagine? Wow. He knew what it was like to be down here, then way up here, back down again. The Lord took him through the ups and downs of life. Are you familiar with that kind of action in your life too? Things going up, things going down. Good things, bad things, they happen to all of us, don't they? Happens to all of us. He knew what it was like. He knew what it was like to face those difficulties and continue to keep going strong in the Lord. The Apostle Paul knew that as well. He says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. You can do the math, 5 times 40. Phew. A lot of stripes. Do you figure the other guys saw all of the scars on his back? Can you imagine? 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11. Why would you keep going after all of that? Why keep trying? Why do it? Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But he did. He kept going. Sometimes we're tempted the same way. Sometimes we're tempted that when we've been at this for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, maybe more, why should I keep doing this? Why should I keep coming back to church? Why should I keep being a Christian? Why should I keep doing this? I think Paul knew what it was like to keep going. I wonder, as we start this new year, what is it that makes this year new? Is it the ticking of the clock? It just happened to catch past 12 midnight, some arbitrary time on an arbitrary day. Is that what makes it new? We just agreed together, oh, it's new now. What is that? Or is there going to be something new that you do that makes it truly a new year? What was it that Paul did new that kept him going? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And let's think about Paul and his experience just a little bit. Philippians chapter 3, are you with me? Philippians chapter 3. We're talking about the Apostle Paul here. After all of that, he kept going. All that he had gone through, he was used by God in such a mighty way, and yet in verse 13 he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." In other words, I haven't made it yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not where Christ would like me to be yet. I haven't reached perfection yet. I wonder if I were to ask you for a show of hands, how many of you have made it to perfection yet? Me neither. You know, it's pretty amazing. None of us are there yet. I don't glow because of... I might glow because of the radiation treatments, but I don't glow because I've walked into heaven at all. At least not physically yet, right? Paul hadn't made it yet. He hadn't graduated. He hadn't finished. I haven't finished. I haven't made it. You haven't made it. I wonder sometimes why we expect others to have made it. Ever notice that? Well, they shouldn't be doing that. It's easy to see what others shouldn't be doing, right? And Paul said, I haven't made it yet. And yet, think about this. Look back just a couple of verses. Begin with verse 4 with me. Look back at verse 4. Paul says, I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. And in the next couple of verses, he goes through all the reasons why he should think he made it. Why he's good enough, if you could be good enough with your own things, right? If your own work made you good enough, Paul had all these reasons why he was good enough. And yet he says, I throw it all away. Throw it all away. There's only one kind of righteousness that's good enough. And whose is that? Christ's righteousness. That's right. Paul knew that he hadn't yet made it. And he threw all of his own righteousness away in favor of Christ's righteousness. As we begin this new year, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say, I haven't made it yet? I'm not good enough. I'm not what Christ would have me to be yet. And I'm not going to expect you to be there either. We're both on the road, aren't we? We're both growing in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul was saying here. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I haven't made it yet. Verse 13. But, he says, one thing I do. In other words, singleness of purpose. He had one thing he concentrated on. One thing he did. One thing that took his attention. one thing he concentrated on. He kept his mind on one thing and one thing only. He said, I have, in verse 14, an upward call. That's where he kept his heart. That's where he kept his mind. That's the bag he put all his marbles in. He counted all his chickens before they hatched, because they were Jesus's chickens. And so he says, I keep my mind on one thing, that upward way. And I want you to think about that in terms of us here today. It's very easy for us to be looking around at the other people on the journey with us as we get started. As we're walking along, it's very easy to say, well, hey, I'm ahead of that one. And I'm ahead of that one over there too. I'm doing good. Or we look around and we say, well, he thinks he's so special because he's up there. And we tend to make these divisions among ourselves. Let's forget those things. Let's get rid of that stuff. Let's make a break and get rid of that. This is not about how bad they're doing or how those aren't quite so good as they think they are. It's about us on our road looking at Jesus. That's what it's about. We're walking our walk with Jesus. Let's let others walk their own walk. And it may not suit us. It may not be what we would have chosen to walk. But God didn't tell you how to tell them how to walk. Make sense? He's only talking to you about how you walk. I guarantee, somewhere along 2011... you're going to go, well, why did the pastor do that? I wouldn't have done that. He should have. And you'll probably figure out 20 things to fill in the blank there. That's how it goes, isn't it? And trust me, the pastor's sitting here going, why did you do that? No, I'm not either. We all are walking on our way to heaven. Let's praise God that we're together, that we're walking together. What a blessing to have brothers and sisters on this journey with us. How blessed we are that we can share in these times together. Yes, yes, if somebody makes something what you would call a mistake, come beside them. Be near to them. Say, brother, sister, let's walk together. We're awesome together. We're Jesus' people together. Christ's body together. That's who we are. The pancreas doesn't walk out there by itself. We're all together in this. Praise the Lord that we can walk together. We can be God's people together. And so let's keep our eye on one thing, on one thing, on following Jesus, keeping close to Him, in gathering for Him others together. Coming together for Him. It's our opportunity on this upward walk to keep that singleness of purpose, looking at Him. Do you remember a fellow named Enoch? They talk about him in the Bible there. A fellow named Enoch. He lived for, what was it? Let's see. How long? He's still alive, isn't he? But how long did he live on this earth? 365 years. 365 years. And he did what? He walked with God. He walked with God. walked with God? Now, I can walk with Darren. I see Darren. We can get up. We can walk down the aisle. We can walk out the door. We can walk down the street. We can walk around our city. We can walk back in here. We can sit back down. I can walk with Darren. I see Darren. When Darren makes a left turn, if I'm going to keep walking with Darren, I can see that and I make a left turn. How does one walk with God? If God takes a left turn, am I going to say, well, I've been walking with God this way all my life. I'm going to keep going this way. That's a little scary, isn't it? If God makes a left turn, which way do I want to go? You better believe it. I want to take a left turn. Absolutely. God's in the habit of doing left turns on people. You know what I mean? You know? What? Send a baby to redeem the world? What's that all about? We're looking for a king here. Right? How does one walk with God? You all have your Bibles with you. So somewhere in the front of your Bible, do you still have that paper I gave you last year? Little paper I gave you last year about Bible reading, right? You got that? Okay, that one's done. Got up this morning, it was like, ooh, new year. In your bulletin this morning, you got a new one, didn't you? Got a new one? This is one way to help you walk with God. This one's a kind of a best guess chronological, little different way of reading the Bible, but the idea is to read through kind of chronologically. Because the Bible isn't always chronological, right? We in the Western world today, the only way to order things is chronologically, it seems, you know? We if it isn't chronological, it's not in order, we think. Where did that come from? If you think about it, we do have plenty of other orders. We could do alphabetical order, right? That's still an order, yeah? Right? Order of importance, right? You want to make sure that your house payment is made before you pay for the candy bar, right? Okay, maybe it's not as important as the candy bar, but anyway. So you know, there are different kinds of order. God had an order, and that's the way the Bible was put together. So this one might give you a little bit of an idea of what kind of events were happening near the same time. So that's kind of the idea with this one. So that you can get an idea what events were taking place nearby other events. Because sometimes they're way separated in the scriptures, so you don't catch that they kind of came together in terms of time. Which prophets came together, for example? Which prophets might have been alive about the same time? You can kind of get that idea by reading this year. Okay? So it's an opportunity for you to come closer to God, to stick with the Lord, to keep focused on that one thing that Paul was talking about. Hopefully that will be helpful. I want you to reach forward just now and take out a hymnal. What color's the hymnal? Some of you weren't looking, I think. Some of you went, it's red. Wait a minute. It's blue, right? Maybe you have a different hymnal. Maybe you have your own hymnal, so it might be red. How did you know it was red? How did you know it was blue? How did you know it wasn't purple? How did you know how to get your hand on it when you grabbed it? You looked at it, right? You looked at it. I watched all of you. When I said, take out the hymnal, almost every eye went. If you're going to reach out and take something, you're going to look at it, right? And that's what you did with the hymnal. You can go ahead and put it away. You reached out, but before you reached out, you looked down and you saw it. That's what Paul's talking about. Keep your eye on what you're reaching for. Keep your eye on what you're reaching for. I'm not looking at him to see how he's grabbing a hymnal. I'm looking to grab the hymnal myself. We keep our eye on what we're grabbing, not on what everybody else is doing. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. One thing I do. I keep my mind on that one thing. I keep my eyes on that one thing. I'm looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he forgets, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Did somebody in this church hurt you in 2010? Don't answer it out loud. Did somebody in this church do stuff they shouldn't have done last year? All of these things, forget about it. Forget about it. Do you intend when you get to heaven to go, well, in February of 2010, you did this and this? Are you going to do that to somebody in heaven? Why would you want to do it in 2011? Forget about it. Forget about it. It's not important. You're keeping your eyes on Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind and what? Reaching forward, just as you did for the hymnal. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is not a worldly goal. This is not, as we talked about last week, building and tables and chairs. This is a goal in Christ Jesus. This is about building the kingdom of God, not our own personal kingdoms. What about Jesus? What about this calling in Christ Jesus? What was Jesus like? Hold your finger there. Turn with me. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. Are you with me? Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17, a very familiar story. I want to see if you remember just one little shred of it here. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, beginning there. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Right? You know this story. So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." Verse 19, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal. Okay, you know those. Verse 20, and he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Verse 21, hone in with me. Then Jesus, looking at him, did what? What's the next two words? Loved him. Loved him. I looked this story up in all three versions that talk about it. Do you know what this guy calls Jesus each and every time? Does he call him Lord? No. Does he call him Master? No. What's he call him? Teacher. Not Lord, not Master, Teacher. Teacher, he's just one of us. Oh, he's good, but he's just one of us, you know? And Jesus tried to point that out to him when he said, "Why do you call me good, right? If you really think I'm good, think about what you're saying." And then the guy says, "Oh yeah, I kept all the commandments." What planet did you grow up on, bub, that you kept all the commandments? You're the only one who ever did then. And it turns out he hadn't. Jesus knew it. And in fact, he was really standing in the presence of the only one who ever had, wasn't he? And so here was Jesus face to face with this guy who didn't want to acknowledge him as Lord, exalted himself instead, saying how good he was. Did this guy have it all backwards or what? Right? And yet the scriptures say that Jesus loved him. That's powerful. That's hugely powerful. Because Jesus loved someone who really didn't honor him as much as he ought to, and in fact exalted himself. And Jesus still found it in his heart to love this guy. Somewhere, somehow, I think you know how, don't you? Jesus loved this man. And in fact, here in Philippians chapter 3, going back there, he says, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call. The life of Jesus is our upward call. The life that says, love as I have loved you. That's our upward call. People who don't honor us, people who don't deserve it, people we would rather treat as the world would treat them, God has called us to love exceedingly. Whew. Whew. That's the upward call in Christ Jesus. To love like that. To love beyond ourselves. And so, like James, I'm not a big fan of resolutions. But I am a big fan of plans. And so this year, instead of making resolution, let's make plans, shall we? Let's make plans. Let's do something new this year. Let's do something concrete, something practical, something that brings this to the front, shall we? So here we go. If we are going to recognize that nobody's perfect, if we're going to recognize that I haven't apprehended any more than you have, any more than Paul had, then let's make a concrete plan, shall we? Let's plan to right one wrong relationship in our life. To erase this difficult issue that stands between us and at least one other person. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know this person. That's probably a good thing. Then I don't have a problem with them. But you do, and that's all that matters. Sorry. You do. And the one that you really were thinking you didn't want to, well, that's exactly the one the Holy Spirit's bringing to your mind just now to make it right with. Now, what if they don't want to? What if you try and make an approach to them and they don't want to? Whew, okay. Whew, man, I'm glad that's over with. Whew. Not off the hook that easy. Sorry. How often has Jesus forgiven you? Did you let him off the hook? Right? Keep loving that person anyway. Keep working at that relationship anyway. If it doesn't work one way, pray about it. Try a different way. If it doesn't work that way, get back on your knees and plead with God for that person's soul and try something different. Keep at it. Work with it. Make it happen. Because it only took 1,000 steps to make the light bulb work. Now, he didn't fail 1,000 times. He said he realized that the process of making a light bulb took 1,000 steps. Are people of the world more persistent to find scientific things than we are with the love of Jesus? Or can we be 1,000 times persistent and loving as well? Can we do that? That's plan number one. One person, just one person this year. If you want to do 2 or 10 or 20, that's cool. You don't have 20 that you hate, so it's not a problem. One, if there's one. And it doesn't have to be your fault that it's the broken relationship. It's okay. Fix one, just one. And then number two, make a plan to grow your relationship with God this year. Keep your eye on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You can start with the Bible study there, or the Bible reading. That's a good place to start. Make a plan this year. You've already got it on paper right in front of you. Your plan is there. Plan to spend time with God this year. But Pastor, I come home, I'm tired. I get up in the morning, I'm tired. I don't have time for this. Okay, maybe Dancing with the Stars has just got to go. You all know this? You all really watch that? Dancing with the Stars, out of there. Whatever it takes. Maybe there's something that's got to go. Right? Maybe there's something that's got to go. You make time for the things that are important, right? You make room in your schedule for the things you really want to do. Make time for God. Make a decision. This year, I plan on reading the Bible, and I'm sticking to it. And I got the plan. I'm going to work the plan. Absolutely. All right. Number three. Last one. You're going to plan to help somebody else grow their relationship with Jesus this year. Somebody you don't even know yet. Somebody who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus yet. Somebody out of the blue, maybe. I have people sitting here right now who run various ministries in this church. I wonder if you'd stand, please. Come on now, I'm not making this up. Prison ministries, there you go. Our adventurers, our religious liberties, our women's ministries, our personal ministries, our community service, our prison ministries. Come on, where's the rest of you? Visiting grandma, I'll bet you. All right. You see some of these people standing here. They run various ministries in this church. All right. I'm going to get real pointed. No, no, stay standing. Stay standing for just another minute. Just another minute. I want you to memorize these faces, okay? Memorize these faces because they're going to be surrounded by a lot of people when you leave church today. People clamoring to join them in their ministries. You. And I want you to be able to see through the crowd to see who it is, okay? All right, you can sit down, please. I want you... Here's the plan. Are you ready? This is not just a resolution. Okay, maybe I'll do something. Something is not a plan. I want you to make a plan. Here it is. I want you to say, I'm going to devote a minimum of 1 hour a month to God's work. 1 hour a month to God's work. Is that a whole lot? Is that very much? If those of you who've been dedicating like 20 hours a week decide 1 hour a month, I'm in deep trouble. That's not my point. Okay? I'm not asking you to only give an hour. 1 hour is the minimum. And you might find that the Lord will bless as you give that 1 month and you say, or that one month, wow, okay. That 1 hour a month. And you say, praise the Lord, let me do two. Let me do 10. We had an unfortunate accident this past year. I'm a believer passed away. Mr. Believer left a will of $15 million. In his will, he stipulated three things. One, that the money must be used all in the year 2011. All of it, or else it goes away. Number two, that it can only be used for evangelism. And number three, that it be used to pay you to do the work. Now, we could take 10 million of that and pay 100 of you. That's most of you sitting here. $100,000 in salary for this year. You good with this so far? You're saying, how come I never met Mr. Believer? It's because you didn't know his first name, Ima. Get to know people's first name, I'm telling you, it's good stuff. We're going to pay you, let's say, $100,000 to work for the Lord this year. You up for that? Would you be willing to go out and seriously put yourself behind this? For $100,000, could you do this? And then, on top of that, we have $5 million to do. Advertising, rent meeting spaces, do whatever it is we need to do the Lord's work. But it's end of the year, it's over. Could we do some awesome things this year? Wouldn't that be cool? To have all that power to do just whatever we felt like doing anytime. Just, we want to do it? Go do it, man. It costs $250,000? No problem. We got the power to do that. We just do it. TV advertisements? No sweat. We'll just do it. You need equipment for your ministry? Praise the Lord. Let's buy a truck. A serious truck. Big one, man. Brand new for our community service. We need new vehicles for prison ministry. Praise the Lord. Let's do it. Women's ministry, men's ministry. Y'all ready? We can do awesome things. We have the power now. Just whatever we need, we go and do it. Brothers and sisters, let's step back for reality for just a minute. Don't we have the Holy Spirit among us? Like $5 million is anything to Him? Who could care less about money when we have God? You see where I'm going with this? Can we make 2011 an awesome year without a penny? Because we have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit amongst us. We're looking at Jesus. We're focusing on Him. We've made plans to follow Him this year, to put behind us all those stuff, forgetting those things which are behind, but going after that calling in Christ Jesus. Could we not change Lakeland, if not the world? What's the world waiting for, other than to see the character of Jesus Christ, repeat it with me, reproduced perfectly in His people, right? That's you and me, by the way. In case I hadn't made that connection. That's what God is looking for. Let's do it. Let's just say, let's do it. And make a plan this year. That we fix one broken relationship. that we stick with God like Enoch. We're going to walk with God this year. Nothing else matters so much. We're not building tables and chairs this year. We're building the kingdom of God. And third, we're going to have someone else's interests before our own to come to the kingdom of God. We're going to help one person. And if you help 10, great. But one, at least, make the plan. Start today. Start today. Making that plan. Just one. Let's call it the hour a month club. The hour a month club. That you're going to go be with these ministries. And they're going to go out of this place and go, ooh, what am I going to do with all these people? I want you to drive these ministry leaders to their knees, asking God what they can put you all to work at. An hour a month. If you haven't done at least an hour a month, now's the time. That's the minimum, an hour a month. Does that make sense? Is that too much to ask for the Lord who died for you? Come on. You know it's good. And you know He'll bless as we put Him first. Instead of making a New Year's resolution, consider committing to a biblical solution. Your promises are easily broken. Empty words, though earnestly spoken. But God's Word transforms the soul by His Holy Spirit making you whole. As you spend time alone with Him, He will change you from within. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we want to have a new year. Not the same old year again. We don't want that. Lord, we want a new year. A new opportunity to serve You. A new opportunity to come close to You. A new opportunity to repair breaches with others. Lord, we want this year, 2011, to be new. Father, we've made plans, but we know that our plans are nothing without You. We want to plan in the power of Your Holy Spirit. We want to make a difference. We want to be new this year, different than we've been, because we're closer to You this year. Father, I ask just now that those who want to make this decision will stand before You. Just the physical act of standing to make it real in our lives that yes, we want to follow You. No one's looking, no one's keeping track. We just want to stand for You. Father, as we stand here today, we are making a commitment to these plans that we have made, to writing one relationship, to committing to walk with You closer than ever this year, maybe by beginning with this Bible reading, maybe other ways. However, we want to commit to You this year. And Lord, we want to commit to finding one person this year that we will change too. That it not just be us that's changed, but that the ripples go out from You to us, to others, that it change our world. But we start today with one person. We start by committing 1 hour, maybe. Just 1 hour, maybe. The Hour a Month Club. And so, Lord, you see us standing here today, committed to you. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that we might be your people, reflecting your character on that upward call that Paul walked so long before us. May we walk it today, following Jesus. In his name we pray.